Okay, turn to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. And read Matt Sanger is going to read verse 40 and 49. And then Vince is going to read 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay, go ahead and read the two verses, Matt, and then we'll begin.
Then he took a staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Verse 49. Then David put his hand in his bag and took one stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth.
Okay, so 1 Samuel 17 is a huge chapter. I preach from this in the men's rally. There's a whole bunch of lessons in finding revelation, understanding the Word of God, preaching, a whole bunch of things. How do you choose one sermon? There's 58 verses there. There's a ton of things in 1 Samuel 17. But what we're going to look at is these verses. They speak about 5 smooth stones that David chose. And this was one of the keys of victory. You know that he had a sling. If you don't know what that is, it's not a slingshot like this, but a piece of leather with two ropes or of some kind or twine. Put the rock in there, sling, and then you let go of one of them. That's what David used as his weapon. So the Bible is filled with details. And so as you're reading, this is significant. It's probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible from the time kids are in Sunday school. They're taught this. There's songs about David beating the giant. And central to that, it'll talk about with a stone, with a rock, he defeated the giant. So what is important when you're reading the Bible and when you're trying to gain revelation, whether that is for yourself, whether that is for a lesson or a sermon, is obviously to ask questions. Why is that in there? There are details that are given in the Bible, and details are important. You can go overboard and, you know, make every sermon 4.5 hours. I don't think that's necessary, but the details are necessary. So I want to just show you a couple of things here. I want to show you some wrong approaches. So in trying to find revelation and meaning in the Bible, you can approach the Word of God incorrectly, which means you're probably going to get an incorrect understanding. So the first wrong approach is symbolism, making things heavily symbolic. There are a few things that are clearly understood to be symbolic, like oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and there are a few things. The problem is that there is an approach to the Word of God that makes everything symbolic, looking for a deep and heavy meaning. When I did this, I did a little research. So one guy, this is his understanding. So the natural question about the stones is, why were there 5? So this is one guy's answer. The number 5 is significant in creation because God's creation, the man, has 5 fingers, 5 senses, and 5 toes. Thus, it is the number of God's grace. Unless, of course, you know, you're Jim Norris, you have 4.5. You have, who's the guy in the Northwest? He's only got 2. You know, okay. So at any rate, that's like, wow. You know, it's the number of God's grace. Well, the problem with that is all I did was dig for a few minutes, and another guy said the number 5 means something totally different. So, the problem with symbolism is you can't really check up on it. Somebody says that's the number of grace. Somebody else says it's the number of man, and it, you know, it hurts my head. This is, I don't know if you know, there's an entire, it's not a science, definitely not a science, but there's an entire approach. It's called numerology, and that's heavily like this, that, you know, 2 is the number of, 3 is the, 5 is the, so that's what he's doing. He's making this symbolic. So, if you are trying to preach on the basis of heavy symbolism, in essence, you're just going to be making it up. So that's not a good way to preach. There's another approach, and that I would say this simply is, you take a scripture in the Bible and you make it what you want it to be. Here's another another guy, this was his interpretation. The stones were smooth because you use them the most. So therefore, what are the 5 things that you use the most in life to help you? And he said prayer, the Word of God, church, and you know, I don't know what the other 2 was. Another guy, he kind of took the same approach, and he said, this is like the church. There are 5 good things in the church: the hymnal, the prayer sheet, the pulpit, the, you know. I suppose if you really got to go to the toilet, you can say the bathroom. You know, you're going to get into trouble. That is just what he wanted to say. He loves the church, so he's saying something about the church. Right? Great. He thinks you should read your Bible and pray, so that he says that's what it is. That's okay, but that's not really a way to find a sermon. Another guy, I read his sermon. He said there were 5 stones because written on every stone was a statement of faith. So like David wrote, I believe God. And, you know, he kind of fancifully took out statements that David said. But the problem is the Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't tell us that. You're making it up. And then one other, and I could have gone, I mean, that's only just a few minutes of research. Another guy said there were 5 because in David's heart, the overall lesson is faith. So in David's heart, he carried the stone of courage, faith, hope, discipline, and preparation. So, that's okay, but in essence, you just made that up. So you can just make up anything, and preaching is not simply making stuff up. God honors His Word. Our job in the Bible is to find out what God is saying, not make up what you want it to say or what you think it should say, as you find out what God is saying. One final approach that is also incorrect is, in this case, it has a number, and you can do this with other words that aren't necessarily numbers, but in this case there were 5 smooth stones, so there were a number of guys I read. Their approach was, find something else in the Bible that has 5. And then you apply, if there's 5 stones, then there's 5, and so and I was actually a young preacher. I hadn't been in the ministry for very many years, and a guy gave me back then a cassette tape. For some of you, that'll tell you how old I am. That it was a recording of a sermon that a man preached. He met some African dude, and the guy came and preached in his church. And so he preached from the story of David and Goliath and the 5 smooth stones. And his take was, this is a picture of the fivefold gift ministry listed in Ephesians, pastors, prophets, teachers, you know, there. And I remember at the time, I was like, wow. You know, to me, I was still working on sermons like devil, bad, God, good, choose right. You know what I mean? So just like, wow, is that what that means? I thought that was heavy. Well, the problem is that that's not what it means. It's just he found something in the Bible that had five in it. And so, anybody know the problem with that? With just choosing something else that has the same number? Well, yeah, context is what you should look at. David?
What if there were five sins that are irrevocable?
That could be. The problem is that there are tons of fives in the Bible. So we have the five porches at the Pool of Bethesda. We have the five wise virgins, but then we have five foolish virgins. So which is it? Then we have one guy, he said, it's the five wounds on the body of Jesus. So it's like five wounds. So it's like, okay, head, back, hands, feet, you know. This hurts my head because then it's actually, well, there were two hands. There were 2 feet, one side, head, back. Hold on, wait a minute. Now I've got seven. Now I'm thinking, well, that's another thing. There are also seven things in the... So those approaches are, in essence, you are forcing something that you would like to say. And probably the issue is it's good men who don't know how to find truth, and so therefore they're simply looking for anything. I would not recommend. Our preaching is not heavily symbolic. It's not heavy. And the one I could throw in is allegorical. Using allegories, we don't use a lot of allegories. You don't make the scripture say what you want it to say, and you don't just simply find something else in the Bible that has the same number in this case. So, okay, what we need to do is we have to approach the Word of God correctly. Let's read 2 Timothy 2:15. Vince is going to read that.
Okay, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God.
Okay. This scripture is now written to Timothy, and he says, you know, there's a famous scripture about preaching and the word of God, but we're not going to get into every word and every meaning here, but he says, rightly dividing the word of God. The context is actually error. There are people that they're into error. He says, make sure that you rightly divide. The word is actually a picture of cutting boards. It means you cut it straight. So cut the word of God straight. So if your approach is symbolism, numerology, allegory, just making stuff up that you wanted to say, that's not cutting it straight. And the point is, all of that is, it's unnecessary. You don't have to approach the Word of God because God does mean His Word to be understood. So now, let's go back now to the five smooth stones. Let's think about this. If we were going to build a lesson or a sermon from the five smooth stones, the answer is not simply to look everywhere in the Bible. The answer is to find out what it says, because there is a lot that is there. So I'm just going to throw this in. If you're going to develop a lesson, I'm actually going to preach on this passage tonight. One of the things that you have to consider, and again, we ask questions. That's how you understand the Bible. You ask questions. One of the questions that occurred to me is you have to look at these stones and find out which perspective you're going to look at. So let's take it, first of all, from David's perspective. So if we're going to say that David is like us, he's a man who wants to win a victory for God in some way or another. So David, in order to win a victory, the Bible says before he meets the giant, he stops, verse 40, he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag or a pouch that he had. Okay, so in order to understand this, you've got to ask questions. So, why did David choose stones? Why?
Because he was, that was something that he was familiar with.
Okay, yeah, that could be familiarity, yeah. Robert?
They're hard. They hurt a lot when you get hit by one.
Okay, that's
fruit or something.
I think the simplest is what you use for a sling, and he had a sling available. Needed
it. Okay, so obviously then what you say, that of course could be a thought all in itself, is use what you have instead of, what I wish I had was a bazooka, but I don't have one. So, and that's true. That's a good thought. So sometimes when you're trying to come up with revelation, you write down anything that comes to mind. Doesn't mean you're going to use it all. So, yep. Anybody else?
You already said it. It was there. So he had been using it.
Yep. Using what you have. That's true. Pete?
He needed good ammo to select the stones.
Okay. And so we'll come back to that, but on what basis? How do you know they were good?
They were smooth.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we'll come back to that thought. You hold that thought, Pete. So that is true. So So, all right, what about 5? Why did he choose 5?
For preparation.
And
ensuring that he had what he needed in case he missed.
All right, in case he, that's true. Okay, so that's practical. So you do have, now you have a couple of, it seems to me, and that could be a whole sermon, you could preach a sermon, I'm not going to, that's not the tack that I'm taking, but you could preach a whole sermon about the principle of preparation. That would be a valid sermon. It seems to me that doing things in advance, that's an important. Some people, they leave everything to God, right? They just hope somehow that God will help them. So he is, clearly the lesson of 1 Samuel 17 is that he's trusting God, but people who trust God also, they make preparation in advance. That's one valid point. Then being practical, exactly what Mark just said, is I personally believe probably why he chose 5 was in case he missed. That is very practical. That is, we have a saying in English, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Years ago in pioneering, I just told a new pioneer this strategy, and he thought this was incredible wisdom. To me, it was common sense. When I first pioneered it, it vexed me if I had an event that only lasted one night, and I would invite somebody. So, of course, I'm inviting them sometimes the day of the event. And it used to vex me when I'd have people that they say, oh man, I'd love to come, but it's grandma's birthday. And apparently they didn't have enough revelation to say that my event was more important than grandma's birthday yet. So I said, why don't I start running events over multiple nights? So if I had a film, I would show it 3 times. Because now I had options. I wasn't putting all my I've had outreaches to where everything depends. I know guys that they believe that one event is going to build their church, so they build it up for 3 months, and that is the day that the freak snowstorm hit and wiped them out. So then they're stuck. So David chose 5. It's not, I got one rock, this is it. What if you miss? That's very practical, isn't it? And that's using, you got to use common sense and think about that. And then, of course, it could be that David was thinking bigger. You have, you know, different men have said, you read later in the Bible that Goliath had brothers, and apparently he had four brothers. I didn't take the time to check whether that's true or not, but nonetheless, so you have there, you could take this, you could build a sermon. There is some things there that you could begin to build from David's perspective. Ken, what are you going
to
say?
Well, the guy's 9 foot tall. It might take more than one stone to take him out.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. It's again, but that comes back to practicals as well. So, so you see there, in this case, the stone I am choosing actually from David's perspective. David chooses, David puts it, David uses it. So really, you're looking at David's choices, which all revolve in various ways around preparation and common sense, right? Okay, so now let's take a different perspective. Think about it. The stone was used by God to win the victory. So let's use this. Let's use the stone as a picture of us. In other words, we're now going to look at it from the stone's perspective. Because some of us are rock heads, right? No, that's not why. Okay. So, if you want to understand the Bible, you have to dig. So, it'd be wise if you had a piece of paper. The question is not, what can I pull out? There are five, and there must be, and five senses, and five fingers, and five toes. The question is, what does the Bible say about the stones? So, let's go, first of all, to verse 40. What is the first thing that it tells us about the stones? What?
They were in the brook.
Okay, they were in the brook. Write it down. They were in the water. That's one. What's another thing it says?
Smooth.
They were smooth. What's another thing that it says?
He chose them.
They were chosen. What's another thing it says?
Put them in a shepherd's bag.
They placed in the shepherd's bag. Yep. And there's one more. What else does it tell us? Sorry? Yeah, but that doesn't tell us about the stones. But that's later on. Verse 40. Come on, guys. What's the important issue here? It tells us how many there were. Okay. So, now, when I am wanting to know what a passage means or find, I write that stuff down. Now, we also see that there is another verse. So, we find out here, they were chosen, there were five of them, they were smooth, they were in the water, and they were hidden. Now, we do know something about that. I don't know how many angels can fit on the head of a pin. But I do know those things about the five stones. Look at verse 49. Now, what do we learn in verse 49 about the stones or the stone? It was slung from a slung from a sling. That sounds funny, doesn't it? That's one thing you learn. What else?
It sank into his forehead.
It sank into his forehead, yeah.
One of them was chosen.
One of them was chosen, which I think is significant. Yes. Somebody else. We believe that by inference. I believe that is true, although that is not exactly what the scripture says.
His hand was on.
Okay, it could be.
He chose one.
Yeah, and that was and that was what Andy said. It was. It chose one out of the five. And the other thing here it says is it differentiates. It struck him in the forehead. That's one. And then it sunk into his forehead. probably two little nuances of the same thing. Okay. So, The issue think about it, if you're choosing the stones from David's perspective, that is a, those are all things that you would be preaching, so this is what you need to do, right? You need to prepare in advance. You need to, you know, make right choices, et cetera, et cetera. So now, if I am going to preach, which is what I'm going to do tonight, from the perspective of God used that stone, how much did the stone have to do with that? Yep, but that's a total different thought. We're only focusing on the stones now.
The stone did absolutely nothing.
Okay, so the stone did absolutely nothing. So, here is what actually struck me, is you have heard me preach in various ways. You must not reduce God and serving God to a program and self-help. So if you think about this, the stone, all of these are elements that are outside the stone's control. Being smoothed were things that happened to the stone. Right? This is not a picture of, I got to be a better stone. I need to repent for being a bad stone. So my point, what I'm going to preach on is I am going to preach on the work of God in our lives. If you think about that, a number of these are to prepare the stone to be used by God. So that is what I'm going to preach on. I'm going to preach about the work of God in us, or on us, so that He can use us. And a lot of that is things beyond your control. There are things that, of course, you're going to respond and cooperate, etc. But really, the focus is on God's work in our lives. So, same scripture. So in one essence, I'm showing you what not to do. But in another sense, is you can approach, the Bible's a deep book. You can approach it from different angles. And so as long as they're true, and as long as that is what the Bible's saying, you're not just simply making it up. Okay, any questions? So what I want you to do from that standpoint, I want you to look at those thoughts that we had. So there's 9 different things. So what are we going to do with, is there 9? A bunch of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 9. 9 things. So clearly I'm not going to preach a 9-point sermon. So, and that's another lesson in itself. So what do you do when you have multiple thoughts?
Series.
You could. That's true. Anthony?
You get down to the main key points, like you always choose 1, 2, 3. One of them I think would be the she chose the smooth stone, not the jagged one. That was my straighter, because I old license in the stone, yeah, get it rough.
Okay. Oh, okay, yep, and that's true. The smoothing, that's going to be a thought that we're going to look at. So one of the simple things is you look at, out of those 9, which of those go together? Right? I'm asking you, which of the, in the 9, there's a few of those that actually go together. Which ones go together? Give me one example. I see 2 of them that go together.
The choosing?
The choosing, and so... Yeah, the choosing is one. So we have 2 different aspects of choosing. One is being chosen at all, choosing of the 5, and then choosing one, but they actually both are choosing. Yes. So now we don't have 9. We just brought it down. There's another one. What do you say, Mark?
Preparation.
What about it?
The selection as well as the preparation.
Okay, that's actually would make it, that would make a section. Yes. That's true. Somebody else. There's another 2 that go together. What's that, Caleb?
He chose the smooth one.
But why does that go together?
Well,
David would know that the jagged ones that you're not going to fly straight, so you're going to choose the ones that have been smoothed out, ones that are going to fly straight.
Okay, so, but choosing and smoothing are two different things. So that actually is two different things. So yes, you would choose that because it's wiser. But the other, Dwayne?
Would it be like trajectories, like swung, struck, sank? Would ag and those go together?
Well, they all have S, so that's probably... Unless you list. So, no, obviously the two, is struck and sank do go together. So that's using logical. So I have nine things, but then there are things that naturally go together. Okay. So then if you're going to do a lesson or a sermon, I'm going to preach a sermon on this. So in doing that, my job, first of all, is I have to build a case of the principle overall, and that is God's work in our lives. You have to build that case in order to, and I'm going to point out, the stone didn't make any choices here. This is the sovereign choice that is made. I'm going to build a principle. Then I'm going to, in one point, I'm going to have a section, and Mark said it is the work of preparation. So God's work in our lives, if I build a case, is that there are a number of things that go in that work of preparation. In other words, the whole point is God works on us to prepare us to be useful. That's going to be my point one. That's the thesis or the theme of the whole sermon. So I build a case so that my sermon makes sense. The second point, what are God's work in our lives that we see there? Is God chooses, God smooths, God hides, because it tells us he puts into the bag. So those all go together as the work of preparation. So then what would the third point then be?
Action, the release.
It would be action, which what do you find there in that scripture that is action?
He takes the stone to put it in the pouch, and then in 49 puts it in the sling, obviously.
And does what with it?
Slung it.
Okay, and then what would be the result? So the action
victory.
And the result is what?
Victory.
Yeah, it would be victory, which are found in what? What do you find there that shows the victory? Okay, so now you see something that you read in passing. Now it starts to make sense. Now that five smooth stones is, I can get my head around that. I don't have to find five foolish virgins, five wounds, fivefold gift, or I don't have to make stuff up, five things I like, right? I don't have to do that because there's enough in the Word of God if you dig. So that's what you do. You dig. You write it down. Then you think about it. You ask questions. And then you organize it into a logical order, a logical progression. The principle of God's work, then how God works in us, is found there, and then of course the result of the actions that God takes. Okay, so that is actually what I'm going to preach tonight. You'll see how that develops into a sermon. Okay, questions? Something you want to know?
I may not be understanding the word correctly. We use Old Testament physical to represent New Testament spiritual truth,
mm-hmm.
But you said we don't use allegory. You elaborate on that and the differences?
Well, I'm only going to hit it. That probably would be a lesson for another time. Allegory is heavily symbolic. There's a great article I was reading when I was digging for this, and so the guy, he gave a literal sermon that he heard. It was from Genesis 26 where Rebecca comes to meet Isaac for the first time. So Rebecca meeting Isaac is they're getting married. We know that's the practical. So this guy, he made it an allegory. The allegory is of God coming in grace to meet his bride, the church. How does he do that? He went into a whole thing about camels. Is that a camel's nose is sensitive to water, and that's like a symbol of the water of the Holy Spirit or something. A camel's foot is broad so it doesn't sink, so God will never let you sing. A camel has humps that has hidden resources. You know what I mean? That likes like, so that is allegorical. You're, what's clearly a picture of marriage, you're make an allegory is this deep and symbolic picture of the church and God's work in salvation. When actually it's about a guy who married a girl.
So the difference is whether or not this is clearly what the scripture is actually about.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are scriptures that if it's plain and practical, you should not try to make it deep and symbolic. You should let the Bible mean what it says if it's clear that that's what it's supposed to be. So anyway, that's a deep, getting into allegory is a whole deep thing. I'm not big on that anyway. I was never as a kid, I never was into the Tolkien, Lord of the Rings. I was never into that kind of stuff. I like action, kill 'em stuff, you know. But anyway. It's another way of saying a bag, a pouch. It's another way of saying bag, yeah. What it actually means, Anthony, is that his bag probably had compartments. Right, it was a shepherd's bag, so there was a sandwich, there was rocks, right, medicine, yeah, you know what I mean, that's probably what it means. So either there was a bag inside a bag, or there was a section of the bag, that's another possibility. Somebody else?
Aren't we going to lose our crowd if we get too allegorical anyway? I mean, if we're dealing with new converts and stuff?
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to follow your...
Yeah, you have to be able to. Doesn't help you if people don't understand you, even if you think it's deep.
How long does it take before you can determine whether or not before a scripture is allegorical or is practical? You don't take it too deep. It takes a lot of years to study it.
No, I think it's more a matter of. Again, I think the reason why people get into deep symbolism in that is they don't know how to find plain truth, right? Which is why I teach you. Even if you're not going to be a preacher, I want you to understand how to find truth in the Bible for yourself. You don't have to study for 100 years at a university to do that. God means for His Word to be understood. So my job is to teach you some basic skills so that you can find truth for yourself. And that's what that means.
How do you find out, I'm picturing the extreme point, there are other instances in the Bible that involve preparation or choosing. How do you go about choosing whether or not to reference this is where God prepared so-and-so, this is where God picked so-and-so? Because it seems like you could lose a balance between the statistics and the scripture that you have, and this and that later thing. Versus,
well, I would the key would be, first of all, in the work of preparation, if I am going to take we are the stones, then there's enough here. If I'm referring to God's preparation in other people, it will only be as it relates. So there's enough here is chosen, smoothed, hidden. right there, there's enough there. So in other words, I'm going to refer to, for instance, Joseph, because Joseph was one who had some rough points smoothed, as we'll see. So that relates. Obviously, God's work in, you could choose any Bible character and look at their preparation. I mean, that could, but your number one, your sermon will be very long, and it's unnecessary because there's enough here. Right? Does that make sense?
I noticed the contrast of what you were just talking about. At the beginning, you kind of were just saying, just in just a tiny bit of research, you threw out that there was the five. It's almost like some guy looked up five in the Bible, and it popped up, and they're like, okay, we'll make a sermon out of this.
Yeah.
Whereas the second part, you actually took, it's like you took the time and delved into each part of that, just that one thing. It seems like it's the contrast of lazy sermon making and in-depth personal sermon making.
I think so. And it may be. I mean, in fairness, I don't know these guys, so it's you know, I can paint with a broad brush and go, these lazy suckers, they came up with heavy symbolism. I think truly to the point is what they really are doing is they don't know how to do anything else. So my passion is teaching people the Bible and how to find truth for themselves, because it's not necessary. Number one, if any of you are going to be preachers, the people you preach to one day are going to thank me that I taught you how to do it right. Because they're going to be fed, and they're not going to be tormented and bored out of their minds. So it's going to be helpful. But for that, you know, there were things that I didn't really grasp fully when I went out. So I spent a lot. In one sense, it's laziness. Yeah, I can just Google. On the other hand, it takes a lot of work to be lazy. You know that? You ever met a lazy guy that, man, the amount of work he expends on not working. It's like, if you just work your job, I feel that way about allegories and all that. You spend a lot of time being lazy because you can't dig it out for yourself. So that's another, so I don't know them personally. Sorry, you're going to ask me?
What if there's a something within contextual, within the text itself, you not happen to outsource to other places of the Word of God to find these random five things that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something within the text that actually alludes to that, that you could point to.
Yeah, but we're speaking in theory, yes. You could if it was in the text. So, in Scripture in general, at some point you have to choose. So one of the things is you have to have logical groupings. You either have to know how to group things together, or you have to eliminate. One of the things, as I said, 1 Samuel 17 is 58 verses long. I preached an entire sermon, and there was a lot of stuff in there on Saturday from 1 Samuel 17. I didn't touch anything about the five smooth stones. You can preach. That's one of my one of the issues that I teach guys is that the first key to understanding the Bible or making a sermon or a lesson, a Bible study, is to choose a theme. Once I choose a theme, it all becomes clear to me. That's very important. You shouldn't preach or teach a lesson unless you know what the theme is. You should decide on a theme. 1 Samuel 17, I can preach on intimidation from the giant. I can preach on faith from David. I can preach on being yourself. Saul, take my armor, take my sword. No, I can't. I haven't proven these. I can preach on being yourself. I can preach on five smooth stones, right? There's a whole, there's many sermons you can preach. So one of the things of preaching, clear preaching, is textual. It's from a single text. Clear preaching is thematic. You have one theme. In this case, I'm going to preach tonight about God's work in our lives to prepare us for usefulness. I can say that in one sentence. That's what I'm going to preach tonight. Once I have that theme, everything I'm looking for at the smooth stones relates to that. And there, that means once you choose a theme, it tells you what to look for, it tells you what to eliminate. What the stones were made of are immaterial to me. How deep was the water? I don't know. There's a lot of things that I'm going to ignore because I'm going to stick to the theme. Yeah.
Would it be too much of a stretch to make the point that the children of Israel were not fighting the giant, and so David used the stones, and when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he said, if they were to keep quiet, the stones would cry out.
Yep.
It's almost like if people aren't doing what they're supposed to doing, the stones got to do it.
Yeah.
Is that too much of a leap?
Hoya. It's okay. Getting deep. that's getting too deep. And unnecessary. There's enough there already.
Okay. Are there times where you have a theme in your mind or God's dealing with you to preach something and you'll, it doesn't seem like there is, but you'll piecework scriptures and stories together without having one single one to base off of, or is that
something you avoid? Almost never.
Okay.
Almost never, because it's very difficult to preach clearly. Clear preaching is one of the things that you should strive for. I want it to be clear. It absolutely, you know, as I've said many times, when I began to study the science of preaching, I was just puzzled as to, as a pastor, I would go away, you know, I would be preaching somewhere else. I had a visiting preacher, and I would ask the guy, how did he preach? Yeah, it was good. What did he preach? It was like it was last night. You don't remember anything he said. It wasn't clear. It was from the Bible. It was really good. And I thought, that would depress me. I hope that people aren't saying that about me. Why? And then the other thing was, in a conference, which sermon spoke to you? And it was always the, why? The other guys, I know them. They're good guys. They're living for God. They preach from the Bible. Why did theirs not have impact? And so one of the things is that men who preach from a single theme are the ones it's clear. So I don't preach, unless prophecy is very difficult to preach textually because it's such a broad subject. But in essence, if I have something in mind that I want to preach, then I will find a scripture and preach it. Okay, as opposed to just simply pulling it from everywhere, because you can do that. There are things that need to be preached regularly. I need to preach on money every few months. I need to preach on forgiveness. I need to preach on marriage. So instead of just I'm going to pull everywhere and throw it in and make it, you know, stew.
Yeah.
Instead, I find one and find out the truth there.
So would you throw like the book of Revelations into that arena of prophecy, because there's just so much symbolism in there?
It all depends. I mean, that depends on every sermon. One of the things is you if you have been over time, I teach you different ways to approach the scripture. The Bible's a deep book. It's not a cookie cutter. You cannot approach every scripture the same way. Some scriptures, it's short and to the point, and there's all three points, boom, boom, boom. Other scriptures are not. So that's why I'm... But the essence, it doesn't matter what type, whether it is, the key to understanding it is asking questions. So Revelations could be referred to, yes, but prophecy, that depends on what I want to say. Am I talking about Jerusalem and its fate? Am I talking about the rapture? Am I talking about the judgment of the world? It all depends. Deep subject.
Can you, as a new pioneer pastor, you're preaching, and I know there's a balance between you need to work and dig, and then there's also, you can't expect everyone just to jump out in 3 points. But then there's the flip side of that of how, you know, you start working on a scripture, you're 30 minutes into it, it's not coming. and 3 points aren't coming out, you're gonna start pulling from other places. You just feel like it's not gonna, you can't get a sermon out of this, or you can't get a clear thought on what you're trying to preach. What's the balance as far as, like, how do you approach it? Or maybe as a younger pastor, how did you approach it when you're like, okay, I need to move on, but without wasting too much time?
We've had discussions before. I frankly did waste a lot of time, but it wasn't necessary. I made it harder on myself. So, number one is as I read the Bible, I write things down. I write thoughts down. So that gives me a pool to come back to. I don't have anything to preach. I'm going to come back to thoughts. Or it occurs to me I need to look more into that. God does inspire. He drops things. There'll be a word in my mind for no reason. I don't know why. God is leading me. And thirdly, there's something I need to preach. I need to preach on money or forgiveness in that. But then also, my job as well is to prepare you as best as possible so that you are not totally lost. How do I find truth in God's Word? So I show practical things. The Word of God is meant to be understood.
So part of it is you're working ahead.
Yeah.
Always, because then you're not scrambling.
Yeah.
Something's already beginning to, the thought process is already taking place and you're working on it.
Yeah. Yep. And that's what I cause myself the most problems is by not working ahead. adds pressure.
A year or two ago you preached a second sermon from like the same verse. So would that be something that as you're writing things down you discover there's two or more themes and then you don't want to mix them and then come back and make a second sermon out of it?
Yeah, often. And that's what, as I said, I didn't used to. If I look back on old sermons, it was common that point one, point two, and point three had nothing to do with each other. I preached everything I saw. I should have instead taken one of those thoughts and developed it more. Why is it true? How does it work out? What is the impact? You know, a lot of different ways to approach it. So definitely that's it. It helps you. The more you understand, that's why I spend time teaching you the Word of God and how to find it, because it makes your job easier. Yep.
Would it be, is it better to like start going through and making a couple points and then like letting it sit and coming back to it like later on in the day or the next day?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it best to
depends.
Do the whole thing right then?
No, that all depends on the time that you have. I mean, I can't give that answer.
Okay.
There's a personal preference. I can't, you know, what if I say I'm going to do it all at once and then I get a call, Pastor, I'm standing on a bridge and about to jump. I'm sorry, I got to finish my sermon first. Right? You know, I mean, I don't know how my day will go. So definitely it would be better. It would be better that you not start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for your sermon on a Wednesday night, right? That's the key. You don't want to start late, which is what Corey was asking. Okay. Very good. Then I'm going to preach 5 smooth stones tonight. And you'll see what I did with it. Take one of those and pass them around.